We're reading from Proverbs tonight, and there are three Proverbs. I think each person might have been given this paper that has the three Proverbs on it as well. Under the theme that John is preaching tonight, these Proverbs are relevant. He who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. Proverbs 22:24. Do not make friends with a hot-tempered person. Do not associate with one easily angered. And from Proverbs 27:6, wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. May God add to our understanding of these Proverbs tonight.
Let's pray once more as we approach God's word. Lord, speak to us by your word. Lord, add to our understanding, not that we may increase in knowledge alone, but to live according to how you teach us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we've been considering the Proverbs for almost 2 months now, I think. And you know that the book of Proverbs is framed as advice from a father to his son, giving advice for how his son should live wisely. And the Proverbs are mainly written by and collected by Solomon, who is known as the most wise person who lived before Christ came. But while Solomon's own reputation is that of being incredibly wise, Solomon's own son is famous for his foolishness. Solomon's son, Rehoboam, became king after Solomon, and in 1 Kings 12, when we hear about him becoming king of the nation, representatives of the kingdom came to Rehoboam and said, "Your father worked us hard, building the temple of God, building his own palace," and they asked for relief, and they promised that if he gave them relief, they would be his forever. But instead, Rehoboam decided, instead of giving them relief and rest after his father had worked them so hard, he thought it would be better for himself to appear stronger, harsher, more oppressive, and more powerful than his father. And the result of his foolish decision split the kingdom of Israel in two, never to be reunited. What happened? How is it that a man who had grown up with as wise a father as Solomon himself would be known for being so foolish? For being foolish in a way that led to the destruction not only in his own life, but of the kingdom of Israel? Well, we're told there in 1 Kings 12 in verse 8, this is what happened. He abandoned the counsel that the old men had given him, and he took counsel with the young men who had grown up with him and stood before him. What happened? Rehoboam had bad friends. Rehoboam had friends who gave him what sounded like good advice to them, and because he listened to those that he had grown up with, who he valued, he made this foolish decision. Friends, the biggest human factor in whether you will continue in wisdom is who your friends are. So 2 weeks ago, we considered what the Proverbs taught us about the importance of having friends. And tonight we want to consider the importance of choosing your friends wisely. Choosing your friends wisely. And the first thing that we should learn from these Proverbs is that we should beware befriending a fool. Beware befriending a fool. If you look at the beginning of Proverbs 1, it's the first thing that Solomon says after he explains the purpose of the Proverbs, why he's giving the Proverbs to help us know how to live. The next thing that he says is he warns his son against falling in with a bad crowd. I think that's because he knew what the Apostle Paul warns us about in 1 Corinthians 15. Bad company ruins good morals. Solomon knew that foolish, wicked, bad friends could undo all of his careful instruction to his son. Just like in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul saw that sin-indulging, doctrinally confused individuals were undoing all of his good work in the Corinthian church. The companion of fools suffers harm. Proverbs 13:20. You know, social psychologists in our day, of course, rather than just taking it in the simple language of the Bible, have come up with their own complicated term. They call it social contagion. A bad idea can become plausible if a lot of people around you also hold to that bad idea. Friends, this is what has been happening among teenagers in the recent decade with gender confusion. It's not something that has been hidden for a long time that is finally being brought out into the light. No, it is the equivalent of a psychological fad. People are embracing a bad idea, and because they embrace a bad idea, the people around them think that bad idea sounds better. But it is only persuading people to believe something that will harm them. Perhaps more specific to most of you, if your friends think that drunkenness or sexual immorality or divorce are just inevitable parts of life, guess what you will begin to believe? It happens to everyone. Everyone indulges in this way. Marriages only last so long. Let's consider the history of Israel that we have in the Old Testament. They compromised. They made peace with godless nations around them. And what happened? They became godless. They put their hope in horses and chariots rather than the Lord God himself. Friends, 2 weeks ago we considered what Solomon taught in Proverbs 18:1. To isolate yourself is destructive. But so is the company of bad friends. Beware befriending a fool. Secondly, choose godly and wise friends. Choose godly and wise friends. That's the other part of Proverbs 13:20. He who walks with the wise grows wise. You know, just as Solomon begins the book of Proverbs warning against bad company, he actually ends the book of Proverbs with an exhortation for his son to pursue good company, namely a godly wife. He tells his wife, his son, to value a woman like this as his wife. This is the kind of companion, this is the kind of lifelong friend he should seek out, because as destructive as bad friends can be, wise friends are like fruit growing on a tree. They nourish and they adorn all at the same time. One pastor said this: our best friends are those whose company makes us most afraid to sin. Our best friends are those whose company makes us most afraid to sin. So, who should your friends be? So I'm going to spend the rest of our time in considering who should your friends be. First of all, pursue friendship with God. God is not only committed to forgiving you so that you can be his loyal servant in his kingdom. Jesus' death did not only, as if we could ever say only, provide a payment for our sin so that we can just leave the cosmic courthouse and go about our way. Jesus' ministry is a ministry of reconciliation. He repaired the broken relationship between God and man who was made in the image of God. And incredibly, what he calls that relationship that we have with him, our God who made us, is this: friendship. John 15:15. Hear the words of Jesus. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. You know, friend, if you are here and you're not a Christian, consider this. You have rejected a holy God who knows how you ought to live, and you've sought your own way. You've thought that your own desires are better than his teaching for how you ought to live. You've thought that your strength is more reliable, is better than his strength. You've rejected his rightful rule, and yet in Christ, God is not only willing to forgive you for your rebellion, he is willing to be your friend. This is not simply letting bygones be bygones. The God who made you in Christ wants to be your friend. And consider, if Proverbs 13:20 tells us that in walking with the wise, you become wise, what will walking with the Lord God himself do to you? Mike McKinley, in his excellent book, Friendship with God, describes friendship with God this way. He says, when you trust the Lord in a difficult situation, when you believe what he says to you in his word, when you feel love for him and joy in your salvation, that's communion with God. That's you acting like God's friend. And when you read God's word, when you pray to him, when you gather with his people to worship him, when he has told us that when two or three are gathered in his name, there he is among us, all of those things, all of those activities are good for you for many reasons. One of those, and all of them can be summed up in this way. You are spending time with God. You are investing in your friendship with the Lord God who made you, with your Savior who died for you. Friends, pursue friendship with God. Not only should you seek friendship with God, you should unashamedly seek friendship with God's people. The Apostle Paul gives us this exhortation in 1 Thessalonians. He says, concerning brotherly love, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another. But we urge you, brothers, do this more and more. God, in showing his love towards us, has taught us how to treat each other. And Paul says, I know you know that. Keep doing it. The reason why Christians ought to spend time with each other, the reason why we ought to, as a church, why we explicitly commit to regularly gather together as part of a particular congregation is because Christian friendship over time is one of the main ways that God will help you make it to heaven. When you have other Christians who know you, who are involved in your life, who rejoice at your victories and weep over your sorrows. Friends, this church or the church that you're a part of should not be your only friends. And it's not even that the church you're a part of should be your only Christian friends. But this church is the group of Christians that you have committed before God to spend time with, gather with, and pay attention to. In other words, you have committed, if you are a member of this church, to be friends to the other people in this church. You might hear me say that and you might think, you know, yes, I want to learn from other Christians and other Christians who are, you know, maybe wiser than me or have lived more life than me, but I don't really know that I would call that being their friend. You know, because so often we think we don't deserve to be someone's friend unless they are a lot like us. So we consider someone whose age is quite different from ours, either a lot older than us or a lot younger than us, and think, we can't really be friends. We can be nice to each other, but we're not really going to be friends. Or maybe we might think someone needs to really be at the same maturity level as me and maybe even have the same kind of sin struggles as me in order to really be my friend. Whereas if that makes any sense to you, what I just said, if that feels compelling, You're like, I can't be friends with most people in the church because they're not like me. Let me give you a couple of encouragements. When your friendship is with someone with whom you have nothing else in common other than Jesus, guess what you will wind up talking about a lot? Friendships with people who have less in common with you outside of Christ, but have the most important thing in common, are relationships that will focus your attention on the most important thing together. Secondly, don't be threatened by differences or ways that other Christians seem more mature or more wise than you. Friends, that is not a problem. That's a way in which you'll be able to grow and benefit from them. There are few things more stupid than limiting whom you are willing to listen to simply because they're not the same as you. And thirdly, I can assure you that any Christian that you look at who you see as more mature than you, that you want to learn from, is not going to feel dragged down or like their time is wasted spending time with you, because the mature Christian is easily edified. The mature Christian is easily edified, and they will certainly be encouraged by spending time with you and talking about important things in life and things of the Lord with you. Make friends with God's people. Within that, what kind of friends should you be looking for? You should be looking for friends who are faithful. Look there in verse 27:6. Proverbs 27:6. Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. A true friend tells you the truth, even if it hurts in the moment. Because a true friend or a faithful friend cares about your long-term well-being, not just whether or not you're happy with them right now in this moment, in this conversation. In fact, someone who only ever agrees with you, who only ever showers good feelings on you and affirmations on every feeling you have and every idea that you have and everything that you want to do, is not your friend. They may, in fact, be your enemy. An enemy multiplies kisses. Seek faithful friends who you can trust to tell you better than you know. Brothers and sisters, there are few gifts better in this life than faithful friends whose judgment you can trust. Who, when they say, I think you need to go apologize to that person, you don't have to figure out exactly what they're seeing. You don't have to be convinced of what they're saying to know that's probably a good thing to do. I'm just going to go do that. Try and understand it later, but I trust your judgment. It is good to have friends who, when they give you thoughts, you don't have to wade through whether or not they're worth listening to. Find faithful friends so that you can learn and put into practice not trusting your own mind all the time, but depending and relying on their good judgment when yours is weak, when you don't know what to do. Seek faithful friends. Also, seek many godly friends. Seek many godly friends. Don't just settle for one or two godly friends, because not every person is wise in the same way. No Christian excels in all the gifts. You know, if you were to ask me to rank, either in Christians that I know throughout the world or members of this church, who I most want to learn from in exercising godly wisdom, in evangelism, in preaching, in parenting, in finances, there are at least four different names there. So diversify your friendship portfolio. Don't just settle with investing in one or two friends. You want many wise and godly friends who are able to speak into your life in the many different aspects of your life there are. Friends, for some of you, that is easier than others of you. I'm not saying we all need a certain amount of large number of friends. I'm just saying we should not be satisfied with just a few. One way for you to think about diversifying your Christian friendships that might not spring first to mind. I mean, first you should look around in the room. You should invest in Christian friendships with the people in the room. Another way to invest in friendship with other Christians is to read good Christian books. And in this life, that will be a one-sided relationship, right? You will be getting counsel from them, and they will not be getting a lot from you, if any at all. You may not meet those friends until heaven. But why cut yourself off from benefiting from Christians who've gone before us? Why be satisfied just with learning from the wisdom that might exist in this church or in this neighborhood or in this city, when we can benefit from many, many saints who have meditated on God's word and applied it faithfully to their lives? And seek many godly friends. You might be hearing all of this and all of me saying about how you need to seek godly friends, friendship with God, friendship with other Christians, and some of you might be wondering in your head, aren't we supposed to be friends with non-Christians? Aren't we supposed to be like Jesus, who is a friend of sinners and tax collectors? That's a good question. Let me just observe two things about Jesus' earthly ministry so we think about that. First of all, while Jesus spent time with people who were known by reputation for their sin, yes, and he was friendly with them, but he was not friendly with those who refused to repent, who did not listen to his words, who hated and attacked those who trusted in what Jesus was saying. Jesus, in other words, never held anyone's past against them. He was willing to be friends with sinners and tax collectors who were known by reputation for what they had done. But he was not a friend to the Pharisees. He was not a friend to the proud fools who hated his instruction. Solomon warns against befriending fools and against joining with those who are determined to do more evil. That is different than befriending someone who has been foolish. Someone who has sinned, but wants to learn better. Friends, when you are looking for those who are wise, for those who are godly, and trying to discern the difference between someone who is seeking to be godly and a fool, recognize that often the way to spot that is not a matter of past accomplishments. It's a question of trajectory. Where are they facing and where are they heading right now? Are they humble now? Do they trust in their own minds now, or are they willing to hear instruction now? Friends, if they're humble and willing to hear instruction now, then who cares what they've done in the past? They will be a good friend right now. Other reflection about Jesus' earthly ministry. Yes, Jesus spent time with many, many foolish people, praise the Lord, like Peter. But Jesus also often retreated to quiet places in between all those interactions. And notice that Jesus, when he retreated to the quiet places, it was not to be by himself. It was to be with the Father. For all the many people who were in Jesus' life, whom he spent time with, whom he was a kind and gracious friend to, there was never a question about who it was that he most desired to spend time with. There was never a question about whose voice he most valued in his life. It was always the Father. Is that what's true of you? when people look at your life, is it clear that you are most interested in God's friendship? In this season, where we cannot yet see our Lord, does the way that you treat his people show your love for him? If someone were to say who it is that you listen to most, who it is whose counsel you value the most, would it be the Lord? Remember, our best friends are those whose company makes us most afraid to sin. If you want to be assured that you will live according to godly wisdom for the rest of your life, choose your friends wisely. Let's pray. Lord God, we praise you for the wisdom that you have given us in your word. Lord, we praise you that you have reached out and initiated friendship with us, even while we are yet sinners and rebels. Lord, thank you also that you have provided for us friends who will help us as we walk along the way toward heaven. Lord, help us to be wise. Lord, help us to value the friendship of those who are wise. Lord, help us to help each other live lives that are honoring to Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen.